Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Easter to every single one of you. Do you know we are celebrating the greatest day in history? See, the greatest day in history is not when they ended World War I or World War II or some significant day like those. Those were maybe significant, but certainly not the greatest. The greatest day is when we were given the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And through that, He gave us forgiveness. And we were also given eternal life. And then there's another thing that He gave us, righteousness. Remember that word, because we're going to come back to it in a couple of moments' time. But before we do, I want us to bow right here and just to thank God for His incredible gift. Our Heavenly Father, we've come together this morning to celebrate the greatest day in history, the greatest gift ever given by the greatest God. We bow this morning just to say thank you. Just those two words, simple words, but from our hearts this morning. Thank you so much for what you've done. Amen. Amen. Do you know there's one verse here in the Bible, one verse that describes the entire Easter story, one verse. I think this one verse is probably the greatest gospel verse in the Bible, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's have it on the screen. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the Easter story. I know it's a little bit of a mouthful, so let's just unpack that quickly, and let's look at, it's in two halves, really. Let's look at the first half, and the first half says, God made Him, who's that? Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So what it's saying is, God treated Jesus as if He had committed every sin by every person who had ever lived and will still ever live. Isn't that amazing? Even though He'd never committed any of that. But God treated Him as if He had committed all of those sins by every single one of us. And so hanging on the cross, remember, Jesus was holy, blameless, completely honorable, as if He had never committed any sin, because He hadn't, not even for a split second. So hanging there, it was a holy God hanging in our place. So let's make this very practical, just so that you and I understand that. God was treating Jesus that day as if He had led our life, your life and my life. God was punishing Jesus for all of our sins, all the wickedness, all the wrong thoughts, all of that. God was punishing Jesus for that. And then God looks at you and me. God turns, He looks at us as if we had lived His life. Isn't that amazing? And that, by the way, in theological terms, is called substitution, or the doctrine of substitution. It's really not important. You don't have to remember it. I'm just telling you what it is. All right. So that's the first half. Let's look at the second half. God made Him who made, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God punished Jesus for my sin, and because of that, I can, if I'm in Him. What does it mean, in Him? If I'm born again, if I'm a Christian, only if you're a Christian, in Him I can be righteous. All right, now, what is that word righteousness mean? I asked some Afrikaans people before the service, what does that mean? Gerechtigheid. Alright, isn't that beautiful? Gerechtigheid. Jy is net reg. Alright, that's what it means. Alright, what does righteousness mean? It means to be in right standing with God. That's what it means. Have you ever watched the movie and then you have these two characters in the movie, they clash and there's conflict between them, and along the way they resolve it, and then the one looks at the other one and says, "We good?" Other one hesitates for a moment. "Yeah, we're good." That's exactly what it means. God looks at you and me when we give our lives to Him. Remember, there's a massive condition here. It's if we, children of God, if we've surrendered our lives to Him, in that moment, God looks at us and God says, "We're good. We're good." That's what righteousness essentially means. But it also means to be holy, to be blameless, and to be honorable. So when God looks at us, He sees somebody who's holy, blameless, and honorable. Isn't that amazing? How's that possible? That's the story of Easter. And that's what makes this whole story so amazing. And what's interesting about this whole concept of righteousness is that you and I don't attain righteousness one day when we get our act together. And when we stop doing this, And when we get our temper under control, and when we attain righteousness the moment we ask Jesus into our lives. In other words, the moment we get saved, born again, become a Christian, whatever you want to call that moment, that's the moment you and I receive the gift. It's a gift. Romans chapter 5 tells us it's the gift of righteousness. And so you cannot earn it. I'm just telling you. You don't deserve it. It's not because of anything that you and I have done. It's because of what Jesus has done. All right? And so you've got to settle that in your mind. You can't earn it or deserve it. It's all because of the cross. In fact, Scripture tells us, in Isaiah chapter 64, it tells us that our righteousness is as dirty rags in God's eyes. What does that mean? It means when you and I try and be good, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works. You know, and I'm going to try. Listen, let me just say to you, your best is never ever good enough. Never will be good enough. That's where Scripture says it's like dirty rags. And that's why Paul says to us in Romans chapter 5, that same verse we looked at a moment ago, the gift of righteousness is for all who receive it. The key word is receive. All you've got to do is just receive that gift of righteousness. And isn't that the case with any gift? When you offer the gift, you can either receive it or decline it. Only two options. And that's exactly what God gives us. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us Jesus. He gives us righteousness. And you and I have got to decide, do I receive that or do I decline that? How do we receive this gift of righteousness? Well, there's only one way. And that's surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus. And for many of us, at some point in our lives, we did that. We prayed a prayer of surrender. We said, "Lord, I surrender. I give my life to you today." And in that moment, we became born again. All right? And you probably went and wrote that date in the front of your Bible. That's probably one of the most important date in your life. Not your birthday, it's your spiritual birthday, where you got saved. So how do we receive this gift of righteousness? By surrendering our lives to Jesus. But then Jesus takes it further. And He says in Luke chapter 18, listen to this. He says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Now, What does that mean? Like a child. Let's look a little bit closer. Jesus was highlighting two essential qualities that every child has, almost every child. And somehow those are the same two qualities that we tend to lose or outgrow as we grow older. And as we go from childhood to adulthood, we lose these two qualities. And Jesus says, you can't. He says, the way to receive righteousness, the way to receive the kingdom of God is you've got to have these two qualities. What are they? The first one is enthusiasm. Think about it when you give a child a gift, or if you tell them you're going to get them a special gift for their birthday, say, man, there's enthusiasm even before they've received it. Just think about your own life quickly. One of the best gifts that you ever received. Just think back. For some of you, that goes many years back, all right? But just think back quickly of that time. And I can almost guarantee you, you can probably even remember the enthusiasm, the joy that you experienced in that moment. And you probably expressed that joy, because that's what children do. And they don't just do it verbally. Man, they'll jump up and down. They're so excited. They cannot stand still. They just, thank you, and they're jumping up and down. This is what I've always wanted. And isn't that what happens? Isn't that what we do? But now, listen, just compare that moment in your life to the last time you received a gift. And as you were unwrapping it, oh, this is very nice, but you shouldn't have, you know? It really wasn't necessary. Can you see the difference? You see, somehow it's just not cool for us as adults to jump up and down and to make a big show of it, maybe for the better. But I think you get my point. And so the greatest gift, we don't even realize it, that you and I have ever received is the gift of righteousness. When God looks at you and me and says, we good. We are so, so good. That's the greatest gift that we've ever received. And Jesus says to us, he says, just receive it like a child. Just like a child. He says, with enthusiasm, just be glad and excited about it. And then here's the second step. He says, just receive it freely. Freely. So in other words, you cannot repay that. Listen, if you give a gift to a little child, what do? They receive it with open hands and empty pockets. Because there's no ways that they can repay you. A little child doesn't say, oh, they got me a really nice gift for my birthday. I better get them something. Let me go into the garden and get them an old rock over here, you know? All right? They can give nothing. They're not able to give anything. And so what Jesus is simply saying to us, do that. I want you to do it like a child. Just receive this incredible gift with enthusiasm and just receive it freely. Just know you can't give anything back. God's not expecting anything back. And as much as you and I don't understand it, but how does that work? Don't try and figure it. Just receive it. Why would this person bless me? Don't try and figure it. Just receive it. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, let me give you an example from Scripture. Probably the best transformation story in the Bible is the story of Zacchaeus. Because you see, Zacchaeus was corrupt, man. This guy was a skellum through and through. He would have fitted in really well in our government today, you know, really. I don't know where that came from. Let me leave that comment over there. Let me come here. South Africans, we can't help ourselves at times, eh? But that was old Zacchaeus, all right? And so his profession, he worked for SARS, all right? Don't know where that came from. And so he took more than his share. That's basically what it was. He was a liar, and he was a thief, deceitful, he was the chief tax collector. He was the main guy. So you could say he was the chief thief, all right? That was it. And so Jesus, for some other reason, goes to his house for lunch. Jesus says, come to your house. But Jesus knew something was going to happen here. And so Jesus spends a couple of moments in his house, and something happens in his heart, and he just senses conviction. And he realizes right there, Jesus has said nothing. In his presence, he realizes, my life hasn't been good. Way I've treated people has not been right. What I've been doing is despicable. Right there, he becomes aware of it. Isn't that, let me just pause the story. Isn't that sometimes exactly what happens to us? Right here in God's presence, because he is here in the midst of us. Sometimes nobody says anything, but we just become aware in that moment of what I've been doing is not right. And we can either struggle off and carry on, or we can do what Zacchaeus did. What did he do? Right there when he sensed that conviction. And I'm not suggesting you do that in the moment. Just, you can wait. I'll lead you just now. He jumps up and he says to Jesus, essentially, he says, I've lived the wrong life. I've lived a sinful life. He says, and I've got to make this right. Listen to what he says. In Luke 19, he says, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, you almost want to stop and say, if, if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That's the kind of impact that Jesus' presence had and has on people even today. But I want you to notice Jesus' response to him. Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house. Verse 9. Today salvation has come to this house. Jesus doesn't say, I want you to notice this. He doesn't say, well, Zacchaeus, that's good. And when you've repaid, and when you've looked for everybody that you've done in and you've cheated, then come and talk to me. And I'll give you salvation. He doesn't do that. Right there in the moment, he says to him, salvation has come to this house. You've just received salvation. How's that possible, Jesus? He hasn't changed anything in his life yet. Oh, it may not look like it. But his heart has changed. There's been a tremendous shift in his heart. And before anything can change in our lives, it's got to change in our hearts. Before our behavior can shift, our hearts have got to shift. And God sees the heart. And so that's exactly what happened. And so God says right there, Jesus says, he says, salvation has come to this house. And I'm not saying Zacchaeus didn't have to go and sort things out. Oh, there's a time and a place for that. But the point that I'm making, it wasn't a condition to his salvation. What was the condition? Repentance. Repentance. Because when our hearts shift, that's what repentance is. That's what God looks at the end of the day. Repentance is, my life is heading in this direction. And this is what I'm doing. And this is the kind of stuff I'm saying. And that's the kind of stuff I'm watching. And suddenly I realize all of this is not nice. All of this stuff is not God honoring. This is the kind of stuff I wouldn't want to have on the screen this morning. God, I'm turning my back on that life. And the moment we do that, I haven't even started a new life. That moment is called repentance. It's that moment right there that we receive the gift of righteousness right there. And so I want to encourage us this morning to do two things. Very simple. Repent and receive. repent and receive. Now, for some of you, many of you, most of you, you've already received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've already repented. But there are times in our lives where we know, I'm busy with nonsense in my life. This is not right. You come into God's presence like this, just like Zacchaeus, you realize this thing is not right. And I'm encouraging you this morning to almost put your hand up, as it were, to God and say, Lord, I'm guilty as charged. And I'm turning from this. I'm repenting this morning. And for some of you, you've never asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. In a couple of moments' time, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And you can either receive that gift or you can decline it. It's up to you, all right? And so that's repentance. And so I think for all of us here this morning, at some point or another, we've got to ask ourselves, there's this stuff in my heart I need to repent of. And once we've done that, just receive that gift of righteousness. And receive it fully and freely, like a child, with enthusiasm, and you can't pay it back. There's absolutely nothing you can do. Now, let me tell you, let me just warn you, two things are going to happen. The enemy is going to remind you of your past and all the sin and all the failure and all the mess. He's going to remind you. And when he does, all you got to do is remind him of the cross and remind him of the prayer that you prayed this morning. Because the moment you and I come and surrender our lives, we become righteous. That means holy, blameless, and honorable. And so when the enemy comes and reminds you, and he will, remind him, you are righteous. All right. Then you've got the enemy. Then at times you're going to have your own thoughts say to you, oh, you think you're so smart, eh? You know, but you're still battling with that bad habit. And you're still doing this. And your past is bad. It's not gray. It's black, man. All right? You got to remind yourself, I'm righteous. You may not feel righteous, but God says you're righteous. If you've surrendered your life to him, you are righteous. It doesn't say you're spotless, but you're righteous, all right? And with the moment you and I start declaring that with our mouths and we start speaking out, I am righteous, you are doing two things. You're getting into agreement with Almighty God. That's pretty smart to do that. The second thing is you are honoring the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Don't ever let what he did on the cross for you and me be in vain. Don't ever try and pay back what he's already paid for in full. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's done in full. Meaning you and I don't have to even try. He's picked up the tab. All right? And so let me close with this. When God looks at the cross, you know what he sees? He sees you and me hanging on that cross. When he looks at you, do you know what he sees? Jesus. Jesus. As if you have lived his life. Isn't that amazing? When you and I look at the cross, what do we see? God's love, God's forgiveness, the gift of righteousness, eternal life still coming. It's like, wow, that's absolutely amazing. Can you see why we're still celebrating Easter 2,000 years later? Because it's so absolutely amazing. Can you see why I started the service saying this is the greatest day in history? Because it's so absolutely amazing. Let's bow our heads. And if you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to give you an opportunity this morning. And there's no pressure. I want you to hear this. There's no pressure, and I'm not going to prolong this. I'm giving you an opportunity, and right there, you either take it or decline it. It's as simple as that. And if you want to take it this morning, if you say, I've never surrendered my life, and I'm going to do it right here, right now, today, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing me here today. I never realized fully what you did on the cross for me. I had no idea. And I want to receive that gift of forgiveness and the gift of righteousness. I receive that today with open hands and empty pockets. And I invite you to become our Lord and Savior. I admit I'm a sinner. I'm a big sinner. I've messed up so badly. And I ask now for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you say in the Word, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we want to thank you now for the gift of righteousness. And for those of you who've prayed that prayer, it's almost as if God is saying to you this morning, we're good. We're good. And God is smiling. Don't see God as this angry God. He's your heavenly Father, and He loves you, and He's smiling. And you take this date today, and you're going to write it in your Bible, because this is the most precious date you have. Amen. Amen. As we hold these, this is not supposed to be a somber moment. This is a time of rejoicing because of what He's done. Receive it with gladness, with enthusiasm, and receive it freely. Come, stand with me. Let's partake of the bread. Let's partake of the cup as well. And Lord Jesus, we want to respond to you this morning with two words, and only two words. We don't come this morning with a lot of words, or try and make it eloquent, because you see our hearts. And so we come with these two words. Thank you. Thank you. And if we were texting them, we would put them in capitals. Thank you. And we're not texting and we're not mailing this morning, but it comes straight from our hearts. That's all we want to express from our hearts with deepest gratitude. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so for the rest of this weekend, I want to just encourage you. May two words be continually on your lips. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great weekend.